This morning, we'll be hearing stories, and I want to add one to it. And this is one that I didn't personally experience, but I read about it in a little book by Phil Yancey, and it's one of his least known books. It's called Church, Why Bother? And it's short, but it's a personal reflection on how God has taken him on a pilgrimage that has led him back into the church and why it is so precious to him. And he tells a story in it that has always meant the world to me. It's about when he and his wife were part of the LaSalle Street Church in downtown Chicago. They were members there for a while. And every year at about this time, they would have a special day where after worship within the church building, they extended the worship out onto the beach, on North Avenue Beach, and right there on Lake Michigan, just about a block away from the church. On this particular day, he said it was a gloriously sunny summer day in Chicago, and seemed like all of Chicago was out on that beach. And they were, as they normally are, like with like. The Hispanics were up on the north end of the beach. The gay folks were down near the rocks over here. Yuppies were surrounding the lifeguard station. Ethnic groups, you could tell by the smells of the food they were barbecuing and whatnot, were all over the beach, and people were laid out in the sun, and it was so full that the church, this congregation had to kind of step over people and around people and kind of made their way, and it was real obvious they were sticking out because they were dressed differently than the people on the beach. Finally, they got down to the edge of Lake Michigan. And there, by those cold waters, one by one, 13 different people from the church came down to the edge of the water, turned their back to the water, and spoke to the congregation. And each one of them told their story. The story of how God had been at work in their life. There was a couple who were high-level stockbrokers, who made a lot of money, who wanted to give their life more confidently and more securely to Jesus. There was a tall, bronzed fellow who just 6 months earlier said that he was an agnostic, and something had happened in him that changed that. There was an opera singer who only that morning decided she would be a part of this walk down to the beach because she hated cold water. There was an 85-year-old African-American woman who was the granddaughter of slaves. There was a real estate broker. There was a pregnant mom. There was a medical student. And there was much more in those 13. They all had different stories, but their stories were centered by the person of Jesus Christ. When they were done telling their stories, their pastor, and I think it was Bill Leslie at that point, he took them out one by one into the frigid waters of Lake Michigan, and as you've probably figured out, he baptized them, immersing them completely in the cold water, and they would come up sputtering and, you know, with goosebumps all over. And as they came up out of the water, the whole church would crowd into them with blankets and towels, and then they would hug and they would say, "Welcome to the body of Christ." Some would say, "Welcome to the Holy Catholic Church, the big church, the one that's worldwide." And pretty soon, whole congregation had gotten baptized because they were hugging wet people and spreading that goodness person to person. And then when they were done, they made their way back through the teeming mass of humanity, back to the church for a potluck. What else do Christians do? Potluck. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3 and 4, this same story. It tells us that in Christ, he has come and he's knocked down the walls of hostility that the fall, the curse of sin, have erected in humanity. The great divide between men and women, between professional priests and laity, between God and humanity, between the haves and the have-nots, between those with higher education and those without so much education, between the Gentiles and Jews, between slave and free, that Jesus came to knock down the wall so that people could come back together. And the only way it's possible is in Christ. The only way the kind of reconnection that God is after can happen is in Christ. It is a Christ-centered reality only. Not only that, when this happens, they become an open and welcoming people, because what has God done with us? He's opened his arms, and there in the LaSalle Street Church, it was made manifest. You could see it. Everywhere you would look, people were different from one another, but bound together by Jesus. A church that then is on the move. It's going somewhere. It's on a mission. It's known more and more for its worship and its faith, which grows, for its commitment to sharing in the mission of Christ. It grows in their connection intergenerationally in every way across the divides of humanity into a community that really matters. It shows and it grows. That's what Paul says the church has been made for. And especially in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 3, just call your attention to what those two verses say. They say that the mystery that has been hidden from the ages, he now has the privilege to proclaim. And the message that he's proclaiming is that through the church, God is making known what he's about, what his purpose is, and where he's going with salvation history. He makes it known through you and me. That is, through us. Somehow, it's the church that he uses to not only announce to the world, like North Avenue Beach, but even to the dark powers, the principalities and powers. We are the means by which God reveals his hidden will to all the stuff of creation. That's what was going on that day on that beach. And that is the vision that this session has chosen as a provisional vision to at least take us up to the day when we'll welcome a new senior pastor, and perhaps well beyond that point. That kind of church is who we intend to be. When the potluck was over, it was a long potluck that day, and as it was over, the shadows were forming and stretching out over North Avenue Beach, and it was empty. Just a few people here or there dotting that big beach. And Phil went back out again, and he walked down to the little redoubt there, the little sand hill that this church had stood on as each of the folks was being baptized, and he saw that their footprints had all been washed away. And there really wasn't any sign that they had been there. It would seem to be, especially in the eyes of those who smirked, Phil had watched as they came down to the beach, smirking and some people muttering and walking away, just kind of ticked off about being kind of pushed out of the way by these religious people. And other people who just with bemused smiles just kind of watched And he wondered if maybe they were thinking, well, this is kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, beaches are for sunbathing, and what are you doing? But whatever they were thinking, they probably left that day with the conviction that nothing really happened on that beach that day. But what Phil had eyes to see was that whereas the groups had formed into their like places, their places of safety, only here in the church was it different. Because here you had a granddaughter of slaves, 85 years old, whose doctor had said, "Don't you dare go down into that water." She did it anyway. And an opera singer, and stockbrokers, and real estate agents, and a pregnant mom, and a tall fellow who was tan all over, who had been an agnostic. All kinds of people. Here's a picture, Phil realized, of the kingdom of God. It's an announcement that it's already happening. And it's meant to happen in congregations like us. He said, in closing his little story in Church, Why Bother? He said, "What I recognized was that there we had people declaring their allegiance to a king you cannot see, and a kingdom that is breaking in through them." The lifeguard that day probably saw nothing more than just this kind of odd group of religious people doing their thing and then leaving. He said, but actually, there was a celebration taking place that will never end. That's the church. And that's where our vision is calling us to go. And I hope you'll come with us, because it's a great vision. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask you to so stir us and call forth in our imagination this picture of the preferred future, Christ-centered, open and welcoming, on the move, growing in worship and faith, growing in mission and the sharing of faith, growing in community, even intergenerational community. Lord, may it be. May we live into that picture for your honor and glory and for the sake of the world around us, that they might join the celebration. For we pray in the beloved name, the name of Jesus. Amen.